theater act is set.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Well, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic force. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html over there at Shazooz Radio. And if you want to join in on the Skype conversation, you can add me or Thomas or Raymond as a contact and we'll pull you into the call. So, hi guys.
Is that all there is?
Ah! Alrighty. Well, you know, scrolling over there, over there on the podcast page, there's tons and tons and tons of old podcasts for people to go in and listen to. There's documents or diagrams of different little circuits and ideas and things on mad science, man. Even a picture of the old plasma reactor on there. Pop-pop boat deal that we tried to do a competition on. And many, many, many more things. Very interesting. So, I woke up at the very last minute this morning, and so my brain is not fully functional yet. But when I very first started off on this mad science show here, I used to talk about a lot of the old things I very first started researching. Got this crazy idea about a solenoid engine way back before I ever even got onto the YouTube or even on the radio for that matter. There's a diagram you can actually go over there and see. I'll pop it over in the chat room so people can get a look at it. Alrighty then. It's terrible for radio. I'm telling you.
Woman's doing it.
I'm hanging up on you.
Oh, God. I'm going to give you the Justin treatment. You know? Don't anyway. Justin.
Anyway, if you click on that deal right there, you'll see this nifty little gizmo that basically has a flywheel system that pulses out some magnetrons that in turn pulses some coils, which in turn turns a dual overhead camshaft. So I started building the charging system for this thing first. I'd say well over 20 years ago. Started building a charging system. Started working on it, and one of my friends come by and says, "Oh, look, you built an alternator." And I was like trying to tell him it ain't an alternator. It's for something else. You know, the alternator concepts are just a little bit different anyway, because you got to put some power to an alternator in order to build the field up so that you can actually get more power out of it, charge your batteries in your car. It's more like a generator. But what I did was I used some magnetrons off of lawnmowers. And it basically looked just like what you see right there in the picture. And so, Tommy, somebody said you sound breezy this morning. Tom sounds breezy this morning. I think he dropped off the jive turkey from his house to yours so he can get some sleep. Aha! So you got energy and I don't, that's why. You left the turkeys at my house. You guys gotta wake up, man. I'm the one who slept late. I should be the one that's tired. Raymond, are you there?
Oh yeah, I'm just
listening. Oh. Well, anyway, if you're looking at that picture right now, you can see it shows where it's pulsing and everything like that.
How do I get to that chat room?
Somebody send that man a link.
Yeah.
All right. Copy. Paste.
The chat room on the radio show and the chat room you keep talking about, they're two different chat rooms, aren't they?
Nope. They've been the same chat room since the radio show started.
Is it HTML or HTML?
I just posted the link in there.
Oh, okay. But I cut the whole thing out, too, from memory. I didn't go copy nothing. Lazy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't type the whole link out. I'm too tired to type the whole link out. I just copied it and pasted it. That's the easy way to get information fast, man. I built a whole website doing that once.
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yeah, it was exciting.
There's a college that's seen it.
Yep. They use it as an example of what not to do when building a website. Hey, when's the last time you ever heard me tell you I was a webmaster? I rest my case. There ain't no webmaster. Anyway, yeah, Raymond, are you there yet?
Yeah.
Did you click on the picture?
Yeah, I did.
Are you watching the picture go around in circles?
Nope.
Man, you guys got to get some updated equipment. Are you on a TRS-80?
Because of TMI.
You say a PS-80?
Or a Commodore 64?
That's what I have on.
All right,
you didn't get what I said there?
Yeah, I ignored it.
POS 80?
Huh. Anyway.
I see a symbol that says Super Chat, but I can't click on it. It won't let me click on it.
You still ain't even on the picture, are you?
What picture?
All right, I'm just going to have to send it to you direct because, man...
Yeah.
Because right. He's impatient, man. He's going to rush you all day long.
There. Do you see it in the chat room there? In the sky?
Oh, yeah. I saw that before.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Hey, stop rushing us. We're American. We're not Russian.
Oh, man. We're going to have to get you a book of fresh jokes, bro.
Kiss any fresh ones on you, it might actually give you a little burn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I see it.
So anyway, this is the idea machine, man. This is way back before everybody started complaining about global warming / climate change and all the knucklehead stuff. Oh, we're going to run out of fuel and we ain't going to have no more oil and we ain't going to be able to drive our cars and stuff. Yeah, right.
Man. Inflammatory.
Huh?
You didn't hear me?
You said something about inflammatory.
Yeah. Ignorant.
Anyway, that's the kind of things that got me motivated into doing what it is that we're doing. So there's like, I don't know, 400 and some odd podcasts up here on ShazizRadio.com for you to listen into, to hear. We talked about everything under the sun, including the sun, and then some. But this picture right here, you know, people are out there building these things now. Of course, they didn't use the flywheel system necessarily. That's the timing. That'd be like the distributor in your car. Sends it around to the right time. Anyway, that's like 20 some odd years old. Man. God, you guys are killing me. Just feel free to jump in there once in a while.
Ah. You cut us off, man.
Cut you off?
You cut Raymond off. He was about to say something else. I heard half a word come out, and then you jumped in there and just stepped right on him, man.
What did you say?
We're just trying to get out of the way so you can run full tilt. I don't know. You stepped on him when you asked him if he was there. Stepped on me a couple times too, man. Mm. You only get your feet stepped on when you're in the kitchen so many times before you get out of the kitchen.
Dang. That's harsh. Alright, well, anyway. Now that we've got all of our feelings sorted out and our coffee ready and
listen to you. Now you got to make it like that, huh? I'm sending you that link to that song, She's Talking Again. It's like a TV set.
Anyway, so there's been a few people who's actually modified and actually worked on those ideas. There's plenty of other ideas up there, some of which I shared from other people's ideas, some of which are mine. that I put out there, and heck, we even got a drawing out there from Jermaine. One to run using solar panel and a Wimshurst, and he's got a pretty nifty drawing going on there. I'll throw that one in the link too in the chat room. This is probably going to be by far the dullest, worst show here on Mad Science in a long time. Alright.
Talking about space stuff enough, man.
Space? The final frontier?
That's right, man. Man.
Well, we ain't never going to get to space. Because mankind is lazy.
Oh, you keep thinking like that. That's how it'll always be. People have to stop relying on a gun-pointing, violent organization to get things done for them and start doing things for themselves.
A long time ago, there was this cool little show called The Explorers. Now, I got to give those kids credit because they had a dream and they made it happen. They took an old carnival ride and they turned it into a spaceship, and the kid had a computer.
Alien.
Huh?
With the help of an alien.
Who cares if it was the help of an alien? They still did it.
Hey, I'm trying to stir some controversy up so it won't be so boring. You said it was going to be boring.
Well, do you think... Do you think that if aliens do exist, they look just like those? Because if so, they were nasty looking.
With as much information as we have about just how big the universe is and how many stars there are out there, anything you say, hey, you think it looks like that, there's probably something out there that comes close at least.
Well, if aliens look nasty like that, they can just stay where they're at.
Well, you can stay where you're at then, too, because I'm sure they think we're nasty looking, too. Look like a dried up leather pouch or something, man.
Man, are you kidding? I look like a chronic super genius of epic proportions. Good looking super genius. What they call
me. You look like an octopus.
Huh?
What do you think you look like to an octopus?
A super genius? A good looking super genius? Look, it's not easy being a super genius. It comes with a lot of responsibility. You can't just sling that stuff around because you could hurt someone.
You know their first thought is they're probably like, man, how can he do anything? He's all restricted by those hard pieces that won't let him flex and move around. And how do you get around with just four appendages, man? No wonder they can't change their shape and look like other things, man. It must be hard to hide looking like that. That looks so ridiculous.
What's that got to do with me being a good-looking super genius?
Hey, those are human qualifications, man. Well, you got to step outside the realm of human if you want to think else.
Are you smarter than an octopus?
I don't know, man.
Well, they say some of those have actually been videotaped taking jars, lids off of jars and climbing in.
They've also been caught breaking out of just about anything that you try to put them in. You got to be really, really careful whenever you build a tank for them because they're Houdinis.
Yeah.
And then they dry out and die, of course. But hey, this is like the question about the dolphins. Who's smarter? We stress and strain and worry about whether we're paying the bills or all these other things that are going on in our life. They play in the water all day.
So, what's your point?
They live in a water park. Okay? Who's smarter?
Well, nonetheless, I'm smarter than a doggone octopus.
I don't know, man. You crawled into a jar that you got going on there.
How in the heck do you say that?
Everybody's got a jar that they've crawled into, and eventually we're going to die in it, because in this human race, there's only one prize at the very end of the race.
You know, Kevin, there is a big difference between being smart and being dumb.
Look, do I got to repeat myself?
No, I am
a good-looking super genius of epic proportions, and I have the hair to prove it.
Chazes, repeating yourself doesn't make you right. Otherwise, the flat earthers would be right, because that's all they go on about.
Look, it's my fantasy. Don't mess it up.
I can tell it's your fantasy. With that picture you got, you look like you got Final Fantasy hair.
Well, if you ain't got mad science hair, then you ain't a mad scientist.
Oh, man. I guess I'll just have to be mad then.
No, you got mad science hair.
I do not, man.
He's got a mullet style mad science.
Long in the front and short in the back. It's all native heritage show, man.
Brandon's got one of those 1800s hairstyles. Now, we all done picking on each other. Can we get to some mad science?
I was just getting ready to ask that same question.
How about this, okay? How about we talk about what we can do locally, because we have gotten outside of the sphere of this planet. We've got footprints on the moon to prove that. The sky is not the limit, okay?
Well, I'm going to have to hold my vote on the footprints on the moon, because I got to get up there and verify, man. It's not that I don't think we went to the moon. It's that
rocket, man.
I got
on the ladder that falls apart.
I come from the show me state, man.
Yeah, I can see that.
Man, I want to see those footprints. I want to make some. I want to write.
I can't say I've seen footprints, but with the telescope that we were working with, like I said, that friend of mine, we were able to still see the indication that there was basically a metal object up there that had landed in. Most likely, that's probably where the flag and all that stuff's at, because I doubt, unless we're looking at another space landing.
I don't know. I just want to go.
To think outside the cotton box. I'd say, let's examine inside the box first. There's quarters that we haven't even been to yet.
Quarters?
Like, solving the clean water problem?
Holy smokes, Raymond's a flat earther.
So-called climate change. I mean, this shit, oh man. That irritates the heck out of me.
Raymond's a flat earther, Thomas.
Uh-oh.
He thinks the world's got corners. It's a globe, right?
Climate change over the earth so many times it's pathetic. People just don't realize that you cannot stop climate change, but you can alter the way you live in it.
Well, see, that's because we don't have complete and total control over our planet. If we built a planet from scratch, we could do that, and with automation, it could be done fairly quickly.
You don't need to have control over the planet. You just need to have control over yourself and go with what you've got.
Well, I want to 3D print my own planet.
I want to go back in time and tell the dinosaurs the same thing. You ain't got to control that asteroid. Control yourself.
Exactly.
Tell them to check theirself before they wreck theirself.
That's what cold in this part of the planet. It's going to get warm on another part. Boom. Or adapt. One of the two. Or die. You got three choices. Boom, adapt, or die.
Huh. Alright, so what?
It's from the 1600s when they had the little ice age deep freeze. Duh. People in France were dying of starvation. People in London were having parties out on the Thames River. Come on, man. They adapted. Those in France didn't.
So when I land on the moon, I'm going to take a big stick with me.
What are you going to do? Take a tree branch and brush out the footprints?
No, I'm going to draw my name in the dirt up there so that everybody can see it from the Earth. That way they can say that we've been to the moon. What do you think?
Yeah, you make it.
Look, I'm telling you this. If I was back then and I was going to go land on the moon, I would make sure that everybody and his brother, it was irrefutable that we landed on the moon, because I'd make such a big mess of that joint that you look at it from space and be like, doggone that Tyrone, dude, you never send him up there again.
You know, that's the thing, man. There's pictures of those crop circles, and then they show those next to the tracks that the rover up on Mars has left behind.
Well,
they leave elegant looking artwork. We go somewhere and just trash the place, and it looks like a redneck's been living there with four cars parked out front up on blocks. Half the trees cut down and burnt to the ground.
Yeah, well,
actually, just like we're doing Earth, right?
I would do like you do, like whenever there's a fresh patch of snow and you walk your name out real big in the dirt. What do you think?
I don't use my feet to spell my name in the snow, so I don't know what your problem is.
Just don't need it. That way people from space can see it.
Like a big waste of energy to me, because how many sun comes out, it's going to go away.
Didn't you see?
Well, he didn't really do that.
Didn't you see them big pictures that somebody drew on the ground?
Yeah.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
He's one of those Gilligan Islanders. He's going to build a big SOS out of logs and set it on fire.
Why not? Like
planes.
And since Google's always flying over top of my house taking pictures so they can update the map, I'm going to put a big old peace sign to Google. A single salute peace sign.
Oh, you gonna put a one-fingered peace sign up there?
Yeah. Say, this is you, Google. What do you think? I'm just saying.
I don't think Google's the one taking those pictures. They don't have the money yet
They pay contractors to fly over all the property and take pictures.
Oh, yeah, the close-ups, okay. I was going to say, because most of that stuff is actually basically government space organizations that put satellites up and TV stations, man.
And also, they're really busy. Because whenever they fly over and take all those pictures of your property, that somebody's like make sure that there ain't nobody out in a certain area. If there's a picture of you, have you ever seen any picture of people on Google Maps?
No, they're trying to make sure when the aliens invade our internet, they'll think there's nobody here and they'll just leave.
Oh, that's a stupid idea.
I've seen Google Maps with people, I've seen Google satellite pictures, and I've seen people.
Well, you need to post it to prove it, because we don't believe you.
I can tell you right now, if there was a glove laying palm up in the Sahara Desert, they could tell you whether it was a right hand or left hand.
Do you know why they don't put people on Google Maps?
I can't help that. I've seen it with my own damn eye.
Well, then you got to post it so we can see it. Because if your face is on Google Maps, then they have to pay you for it.
I've never seen anybody's face. I've seen people.
I haven't seen a people. Seen cars, but you can't see no people.
About whether there's people on Google Earth.
Huh?
Huh?
What?
Huh? Google Earth, yes, I've seen people walking around. You can't tell whether it's a man or a woman, but it's people. You actually see it.
Well, as soon as you find one, do a screenshot, post it. Anyway, they fly over, they take pictures, they have somebody racing out anybody so that nobody can claim that they took a picture of them, put them on the Google Maps so they can make money off of it. They don't want to have to pay no royalties. You use my picture in your business, you have to pay. Pay me. That's why all the times when there's a doggone TV show, somebody's always trying to hand you a piece of paper to sign it and say that you're giving your permission to use your likeness in the commercial or in the background or whatever. That's the kind of world we live in, man. Everybody wants money for something. What do you think? Man, I tell you, this is about like terrible for radio. Alright, so anyway, I was talking about we had these pictures up there on the podcast page, and And I look back through all the experiments that I used to do back in the day before somebody come along and distracted me with all these other different deals like Bedini, and there was always some other alternative energy researcher out there that was telling me there's a better way out there. Well, you can use this design over here and change to that one. We gotta grease that chair, man. And so I looked into all of them, every single alternative energy machine out there, even the claims of free energy. I looked into them, every single one of them, and it distracted away from what I was initially doing, which was generating high voltage for a purpose. And now I think I'm going to go back and revive some of the old machines that I put together and fire them back up again. Go back to where I was. Am I having a conversation with myself? So, in the advancement section, have you guys got any advancements on any projects you're working on that you care to talk about?
I haven't been able to work on any projects in about 4 or 5 months now because of all my hospital business and crap.
What about you, Thomas? Man, that's like crickets. Yeah. Ah. Alright, well, anyway, I guess I'll just keep on rolling here. So, there are several hundred podcasts up of science, everything from water fuel technology to, well, I ain't even going to say climate change again. Too late, I done said it. DC speed motor controllers. Alright. I'm going back to sleep.
You know, I don't want to change or global warming conversation, but at the same time, I do need to say, I could have said it before, it is real, it is happening, and man didn't cause it. And man is not going to stop it. Man is not even going to slow down. No matter what he does, man is not as powerful as he thinks he is.
Yeah, we already expressed that in many shows prior where we tried to teach people the real science of things, but nonetheless. So, high voltage, basically you can use high voltage to pulse Tesla coils and stuff like that, and some folks think they really know what a Tesla coil is, and they get into all these different technicalities and try to talk about resonance and all this kind of stuff, and they don't understand that it ain't nothing more than one really amazing antenna, and that's where all your radio communications came from and your cell phone and stuff like that. So it's basically moving energy from one place to the next. You got a primary coil that you induce a current in, which produces a magnetic field that in turn energizes the secondary. The secondary goes up. And finally, after several pulses, this energy builds up on the top load and begins to ionize all the air around it, and you get these nifty sparks on the outside, depending on how high you pump up the voltage.
So, how you pump up the volume?
Yeah, it's a simple concept. The Tesla coil is a radio transmitter and receiver antenna. It's not a spaceship.
No, that's so,
you know, I don't know that much about electronics, but I got a sneaky feeling it wasn't intended to throw out lightning bolts. That's just somebody screwed up and made it too powerful and started doing that, so everybody else can just play with it.
No, it was definitely intended to show power. Tesla did it to get some attention when he showed everybody how powerful that voltage could be ramped up to. And but as far as sending energy out wirelessly, it didn't have to be ramped up to the stage where you got lightning bolts shooting out of the top of it. It was a radio transmitter before.
That's the way I feel. That's exactly what I feel. It was not intended to do that. It's just that it was possible to go with it.
Yeah, it was a radio transmitter before all the cell phone towers and all the Gwen towers or whatever, repeaters towers out there, and radio station towers. It was the tall antenna before all those other antennas were ever in place. So, that's what that was. Now,
in retrospect, let's think about what you just said, okay? A radio antenna sends out waves that you cannot see. Sends out power. Your radio picks it up, amplifies it, and turns it into sound. Now, sound is movement. It's vibration. That's all sound is, right?
Yeah.
So there's a speaker in your radio. It takes that energy, amplifies it, and causes those magnetic waves, electromagnetic waves, to vibrate a speaker and turn it into sound that you can hear and understand. Alright?
Well, yeah, it's the simple of it.
You know, Tesla was trying to do with the Tesla coil, send out energy, but built in, it's up to us, or if it lived longer, maybe he'd have done it. Build machines that could actually turn that energy into other things, like run a blender, run an automobile.
Well, yeah, the whole concept was to point out that energy can be moved and manipulated and sent out wirelessly through the air, and then you can turn it back into usable power on your side. See, that's all we're doing. We're not doing anything fancy. All we're doing is sending waves out and moving energy from one place to the next.
Exactly.
That's what I've been trying to point out. As far as over here, we use our electricity at 60 hertz, and we use it at 50 hertz overseas. And that's just the hertz range is nothing more than the timing of that wave. It's as simple as that.
Right.
How fast and how often that wave is occurring. It is possible to literally simulate either 50 hertz or 60 hertz, any hertz range for that matter. It is possible to simulate AC current using solid state equipment, transistors, resistors, and diodes, and circuitry, and all that kind of stuff. Basically, you're turning a light switch off and on at a certain time, and then you'll get your hertz range. It's not high tech. We do it. They got inverters. That's what they do. They take DC current and basically turn it into AC current or pulse DC, nonetheless. So, with that knowledge, everybody thinks it's so hard to find free energy, and it's
Raymond,
not.
Just for him on that whole subject, modified sin wave.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Why am I bouncing back? Anyway. So, we know we're taking energy from everywhere, and we're moving it from one place to the next, and we're getting things done with it. That's it. That's the whole deal. That's what Tesla was trying to show everybody. And you can do it wirelessly. You can do it through a wire. Still going to be pulsing out a wave, nonetheless, no matter what how you move that energy from one point to the next, you're still going to be pulsing out a wave. You're going to be expanding and collapsing a field, strengthening or whatever. With that knowledge in hand, you can build mechanical devices, such as like what I showed in that picture there. That's sending out a frequency wave, pulsing every so many turns on that. And that basically that magnetic wave goes over to a solenoid and energizes that coil and produces a magnetic field, which then in turn pushes a rod and turns the camshaft. It's all the same thing, man. Are you guys awake today?
Yeah, I am.
So, what you can do with that technology brings y'all the way up to what I've been talking about as far as plasma. Different helium and neon and argon and krypton and xenon. Different noble gases that have the qualities where they put out different colors when they're energized into the fourth state of matter. Mercury arc rectifier that I keep talking about was back in the late 1800s, was a plasma reactor back then. And those basically ended up being fluorescent light bulbs. Or the mercury vapor bulbs. So they knew back then that they were taking energy and changing it from one state to the next in order to be able to use it. So here we are in the year 2017 and we're still having a debate of whether or not energy is free or not. You guys are going to have to start talking or I'm going to have to put on a podcast.
Don't threaten me.
And I'll have to go back to sleep. Take a nap. So, plasma technology can go as far as you want to take it. You can take that plasma technology and you can literally build an ion drive system, which I got a crude picture of on the podcast page of the actual engine that you could use for an ion drive. Because you're basically just energizing any molecule that comes in the engine and using that force out the back for thrust. Heck, there's a picture of an old steam engine made out of a ball that's basically got a couple pipes that stick out in opposite directions that spun around in circles whenever you put heat to it. Moving energy from one place to another. Really? Alright.
You know, interrupting you, that would drive you crazy. You can't freeze.
What?
If we're not talking, so we're not interrupting you, then we're not talking enough. And if we say something and we end up butting heads because we're talking, trying to talk, say everybody's excited and talking about something at the same time, then it's not good enough either.
Mainstream scientists and some alternative energy researchers, get your head out of the sand and think outside the box. Is that just typical?
Just use this opportunity you have to say all the stuff you want to say because nobody's interested in you, man.
Mm. What you were describing when you were talking about steam engine, about the round ball.
Yeah.
Is that, in a roundabout way, is that the same thing with the pop-up book?
Well, I suppose, yeah. It's the same concept. Causes thrust to move it. The pop-pop boat, I don't understand why nobody ever, like, put an entry into that doggone thing for the contest that we tried to run.
Something got blown out of the water by a big argument between several individuals.
No, that would just went by the wayside. We got to give people the option and actually gathered up some prizes and stuff for people to whoever built the best one and the biggest one and the fastest one and the baddest one. And not one single entry in that entire deal. So it went by the wayside. But nonetheless, I'm still going to build a full-size version. That's why I keep asking everybody if anybody knows how to bend some big coil tubing to build a coil to put inside a 10-foot flat bottom boat and show that thing could be scaled up. See, folks, ideas are just ideas until you decide to put them into play. And I think people misunderstood what I was trying to say all along, is that I'm trying to share ideas with them so that they'll take those ideas and run with them. Not trying to wait around for me to bake the cookies and everybody else to have fun eating them. No, I throw the ideas out there, throw the ingredients out there, and so it's up to whoever's interested to build it and try it and work on it. And ideas sharing, you build something and you want me to build it and try it and work on it, and we discuss it and we make things happen. I've got my plasma reactor. I broke three of them so far, trying to get one done that doesn't leak. All right, and tried to get other people out there to replicate the same idea. Show them the concept, give them the idea, and let them run with it. See, it ain't about trying to get rich and patent an idea. It's about putting all these ideas out there on the table so that everybody can work on them and make them advance. There's a picture in the podcast page room. It says sound wave energy transfer. Did a video showing people how you could take one speaker and you could transfer that energy from that speaker through a box and into another speaker and send that energy out the other side, and you could actually plug it into an amp and hear that same song off the other deal.
And you should show them how to do that by transmitting it through the ground.
You can transmit it through any medium. That's why Tesla was trying to show everybody.
Actually, in Great Wall of China, that's how the guardhouses would communicate through the ground. They had a big pit, and they had a drum down in there that was fastened to the solid block, and they could actually communicate in their type of Morse code. People don't even know that.
Well, there are places where people had made tunnels that go up to different sections of buildings and stuff, where you could holler through these tunnels, and it was like telephone before telephone.
Yep.
As long as it ain't smellophone.
Man. Alright.
When you were a kid, you take two tin cans and fasten a string between them. And you stand 50, 60 feet away and talk to somebody about the end of that tin can?
Yes, I understand that. Here we are in the year 2017. We've got everything we need to make some really incredible things. I started off this journey on the mad science in the search for free energy to prove 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt that energy was free. Met a lot of interesting characters on the way down through there.
Hey.
What?
And to stick it to the man.
Yeah, definitely. Stick it to the power company.
That's right.
Basically, everything you need to do, it's right there. Everything. You know, these devices, that they don't build themselves. And there's folks out there in the alternative, I don't even like to even call them part of the community. All they're doing is trying to scam people. Trying to steal from each other. Trying to get some recognition or whatever. I threw a picture of the plasma reactor right up there on the deal where anybody can duplicate it and try it out to see whether or not it does what I said it would do. And essentially, you fill this thing up with argon, you slightly vacuum it down, you energize it with a high voltage, you'll get plasma buildup, which in turn will produce heat and light at the same time, and you can heat water with it with high voltage in the milliamp range. What are you breaking?
I'm not breaking anything.
Or glass.
Here. You said that things don't build themselves, man.
So you're showing me a piece of triangular shaped aluminum?
It's an aluminum titanium alloy.
Cool. So what are you going to do with this? Well, folks, you can hear some clanking around. He's showing some metal on the camera.
I don't know how to quite describe it. It's for building a structure, so...
Yeah, like geodesic domes and stuff? Cool. Anyway, we also talked about geometrical shapes and building houses and materials that you can build houses out of and exotic materials that you can use for all kinds of different purposes under the sun. That's really distracting, man. I'm shrinking you down, so I don't want to look at it.
Showing you pieces that he's making in order to build a large 3D printer.
Cool.
Yep, that's part of it. I mean, these could be used for anything. It's the adult version of the Erector set. Build real working machines instead of just, you know, toys. And Newman devices.
Well, we got the wireless energy thing down to a science. That's easy. Wireless energy's done. Now, what are you going to do with that energy?
Right.
We learned how to literally take coils and capture that energy and charge capacitor banks, which in turn you could charge batteries with. What else have we learned? We learned that you can take a couple little transistors and make a circuit that they call the Slayer Exciter circuit. A guy named G. Bleuer out there initially put that circuit together, and it's been pretty popular little wireless energy deal, and they're trying to figure out why they can't get it to go further than what they do, which I can tell them why they can't get it go further than what they do, but will they listen? That's the question. See,
you won't tell them a question?
No, I said, will they listen when I tell them why they can't get more than 10, 15, 20 feet out of this doggone thing wirelessly?
So when you ask them an answer, they won't listen?
Are you trying to drive me to drinking?
Yes, he is. Yes, he just does it all the time, tries to antagonize you.
He's an instigator.
Yep. Agitator.
Hey, no, I don't. No, I don't.
He's shaking his head yes while he's saying no, he don't. All right, look.
Man, I'm telling you, I can't know.
I understand energy. I understand how energy travels. And by now, everyone listening to this radio show should understand how energy travels. It travels in waves. I don't care what you want to call it, what kind of technical term you want to throw on it, or even that nauseating word called fluvium that what's-his-name keeps saying all the time. Whatever kind of ridiculousness you want to add on it, it's a simple thing is, you throw a pebble in a pond, it sends out waves, little ripples. You throw multiple pebbles in the pond, you send out even more ripples. Those ripples will interact with each other. So all you're doing is basically creating a disturbance. Do you know how distracting that is?
Man, I'm surprised you're even looking.
Well, I'm trying not to, but I keep peeking over there, and I'm like right in the middle of a thought.
Get out of the middle. Hey, you know what they say, man? You stand in the middle of the stream too long, you get washed away. Stand in the middle of the road too long, you get ran over.
Yeah. Long time ago, Muddy said, what?
You're you're talking about energy being moving waves. I saw a very, very nice program on YouTube where this guy's in the pool and he's got his daughter in one of his child's inner tubes. And he pushes down on it. It's one of those round, swimming pools, you know? So he pushes her down, and of course it sends waves out to the sides. And then, of course, the waves come back and lifts her up. So with the same amount of energy, he pushes down on her again. The waves go even higher, comes back, lifts her up higher. So he pushes down on her again with the same force. He's just multiplying his energy. And so the swimming pool is actually acting like a capacitor. He keeps putting in the energy at the right moment, and it keeps building and building and building until next thing you know, the capacitor pops or it releases the energy. And with the swimming pool, it doesn't pop because there's no top on it. It just releases energy by shoving all the water over the sides.
Well, essentially, that's what a Tesla coil is doing.
Hey, we just need to get 5 or 10 people to go to the local public swimming pool, and we can do that there until they throw us out and record the thing.
But anyway, if you want to understand how to... Look, producing the energy is the easy part, right? Let's say you can't never... energy can neither be created nor destroyed. You don't have to create it. The only thing that ever was going on with the Tesla coil was that he was taking an already existing energy source and manipulating it and amplifying it until it finally pressurized the top load and sent a whole lot of power out the top. But using that knowledge, now you know how you can not only grab the energy on the way out, but you can also grab the energy on the way back and use it to get useful work done. And different materials will interact differently with the electricity, the electrons, or the flow, or whatever. The hard part's already done. The easy part is basically taking all that knowledge and putting those pieces in the right order and building the devices that people say they want. Look, right now, every single probably household out there has its cell phone in it. That's Tesla technology. Guys like Marconi and stuff like that out there doing radios and stuff like that. Everybody's got a TV in their house. Same thing. There ain't one piece of equipment out there that doesn't have something to do. When I'm saying equipment, I'm saying electrical equipment with coils and transistors and all that kind of stuff in there. Doesn't have Tesla's fingerprints on it somewhere. And all he did was show everybody how to basically harness the power of lightning. It's that simple. How to harness the power of nature using those waves to amplify and... I don't know what more to say, man. I'm just tired.
You didn't get enough caffeine this morning, apparently.
Yeah.
Got too much blood in your system. You need to get some more caffeine and balance that out.
I'm probably not even going to upload this podcast. Jeez.
You know, we've discussed so many different things. We're running out of things to discuss without being totally redundant. Like you just said, Tesla showed us how to harness lightning. Well, yeah, I did. But not the lightning bolt. And he didn't do that.
Yeah,
he showed us how to harness the lightning, the energy in the air before it became a lightning bolt. Like you said earlier, the only reason he ramped it up is to show people the power in it. The Tesla coil was not intended to throw out lightning bolts. It was not intended to do that. He just showed that it could.
Actually, I've heard plenty of people saying, and the math kind of shows it to be true, is that you're
you're throwing a lightning bolt, it's a breakout, and the breakout is lost energy.
Exactly.
Like that water flocks out of the swimming pool.
Well, I've said several times on this show, people that try to catch lightning bolts, that's ridiculous. You don't want to do that. You want to drain the capacitor before it explodes.
Yes.
You sink your wire up in the air, you de-energize the cloud, and before it becomes a lightning bolt, and you can pull the electrons out of the air and put them in a battery, or put them into the grid.
Yeah, well, Tesla had a wireless energy, basically, the patent was to collect radiant energy and everything else out there. Basically, it was a big piece of metal up in the sky, up in the air, that had wire that goes down to the ground.
Right.
So, doggone it, man. This is driving me freaking nuts. Everybody wonders why I call this mad science, because I'm sitting here and it's so ridiculously simple to do what it is that I'm talking about, and yet people are so they're fighting against it, man, in every way, in every direction. Oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Got in a big stink over current watts and amps. And for all those people that gave me a rash in the past about current watts and amps, you ain't got a clue. You ain't got one single little iota of any kind of intelligence whatsoever.
What did you say about not calling people parasites?
Why don't you listen to what I'm about to say?
Stop thinking about these people and stop even worrying about them and focus on you.
I'm focusing. Now, before you pick out what I'm about to say, I have been trying to show something to somebody for so long. And I said, you don't need current watts and amps to do what it is that I'm doing. And boy, I tell you what, I started a war of epic proportions, because the school book said, you need to take the school book and you need to set it over there on that burn pile and you need to torch it up, because they didn't teach you nothing, apparently. They didn't teach you how to think for yourself. They taught you how to think along with what the man told you to think. It's as simple as that. If you take any energy, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's static electricity. It doesn't matter whether it's water. It doesn't matter whether it's heat. I don't care what you want to call it, what kind of label you want to put on it. All energy is the same. It's just moving around in a different form or fashion. Some energies are vibrating so rapidly that they produce friction, which in turn produces heat and starts a fire. If you could take and put boiling water under a microscope and you could watch how all the electrons and protons and neutrons are interacting in that water molecule, then you would see that the faster you speed that up, the more big giant bubbles start appearing in the water, and the water becomes hot. Tell somebody about boiling water, the very first thing comes to their mind, well, boil means hot water. Psst. No.
No, you don't. I've proven that.
But nonetheless, all of it is how fast you're moving something, where you want to move it to, and which state of matter that you want it to be in when it gets there. And so I decided, because voltage is pressure, and voltage of pressure is what gets work done, then I was going to get rid of all the current watts and amps that people will only use for measurement purposes, once they start to run their inefficient appliances. It takes this many watts to run this, and you can't run it on this kind of energy. It's just not possible. You can't build it up fast enough. I showed how to literally take high frequency, high voltage, and move energy into a completely different state of matter and move it along faster. Back in the day before all this technical jive started coming around, they figured out that they could do the same thing with water. They'd boil the water, and they'd turn the water into steam, and then they'd run steam turbines to power things up, old steam engines. And they could get from point A to point B by doing the same exact process that I'm talking about doing with what we call electricity. So that's why I say you didn't learn nothing in school. Because you didn't pay attention. Some people say the electrons flow on the outside of the copper wire, and some people say it flows on the inside of the copper wire, but nonetheless, nobody can see close enough to find out where exactly it is going. Or what is actually occurring, whether the electrons are interacting with each other, or whether there is even an electron to begin with. All we know is that when we induce a current into a coil of wire, we produce what we call a magnetic field. And by fluctuating that magnetic field, we can produce the type of current that we want. It's simple. You do it really, 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 really fast, you get a high voltage. You do it at about 60 hertz, 50 hertz, then you run your household appliances. But all the energy, nonetheless, is the same. It doesn't matter whether it's in the gas state or whether it's in whatever, liquid, solid. Everything interacts with vibrational frequencies that are being induced by somebody turning a switch on and off. That's what Tesla showed everybody. Now that we know how to move energy from point A to point B, we should be able to build tons and tons of different devices to do all kinds of cool stuff. It's no longer rocket science. You wave your hand through the air, you just produced a wave, acoustic wave going through the air. You're surrounded, there's gas all the way around you, everywhere. There's all kinds of molecules. How fast did you say the atmosphere was moving around, Thomas?
100 miles an hour. The average particle speed is 900 miles an hour for gas.
So right now we got around us, we got energy just zipping by. Zing, zing, zing. And as long as you know that there's already motion going on, then you know that you can actually use that motion to get something done. You know, if I got my window on the south side of my house open, and I got my window on the north side of the house open, and the wind blows through the south window, blows all the papers off my desk onto the floor, and then goes right back out the other side, I didn't pay for none of that. Didn't get the work done that I wanted, but it did do some physical work on the way through. Am I wrong?
Thomas, I think you should nail on the head of what you and I have been trying to do.
Hey, second law of thermodynamics actually works to our advantage, because that means that every form of energy that has ever existed
has stopped into
that entropic state where it's all disorganized, and we just need a way to organize it, and then you can use it to your heart's content.
Yeah, but it's still there. Didn't go nowhere.
And this thing,
Thomas didn't say destroy it. He said use it.
Yes.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Find a way to collect that and reorganize that entropic state of energy. Then even after you've used it and it goes back to entropy, it's waiting for you to tap into it and pull it back up again and use it over again.
Yep. All we've learned how to do in all the time when we've been doing electricity is throw nature off balance, and nature has a force by which they'll slap it right back down to where it belongs, and you use that force while nature's slapping it down to get some work done.
Well, that's what I've been saying. If we build a massive sphere and a magnetic field, a giant magnet spinning around in the core of the sphere with a shell around it doing the same thing in a different fashion, so you can generate your own electromagnetic magnetosphere around the larger sphere.
Yeah.
If we could literally use the debris and garbage that's floating around the planet right now to build a synthetic planet that has it's not an artificial gravity because it's real gravity, it's just man-made gravity by creating the object, the mass of the object and the magnetic field of the object to generate that gravity, you now have a device that basically if you build the automation to go ahead and build the entire thing, you can reorganize the surface of it while people live inside if you had to leave this star and go to another star. When you get there, you're not having to displace anybody because you already have a place to live. Artificial planet.
There's a...
And on the way there, if you're collecting that entropic energy, you can literally keep recycling the energy that you've taken with you from the first star and collect more energy on the way, as well as debris and materials and whatnot, so that when you get there, heck, you could be there with two or three planets. Balance them out around the star.
There's a theoretical deal out there called a Dyson sphere. You remember that?
Yep, and if you build the exterior of a Dyson sphere properly, you could literally hide what's inside because it wouldn't even look like a black dot in the sky. You could literally see the stars through it, even though you couldn't see the star that the Dyson sphere is around.
So,
something completely invisible to the rest of the universe.
Science fiction is already science fact. Man, we're slacking. We're like cavemen that just discovered the Bic lighter. I'm ashamed of modern science. Modern science has been like a letdown. Remember when I was a kid and I was watching all the Buck Rogers and stuff like that, the old Dick Tracy cartoons and all the nifty gizmos that they had back there and the Jetsons and all that, and they showed by the year 2000 we're going to be flying around in cars, you know, and man, I tell you what, science has sure dropped the ball. That's why I give people a rash about whether we did or didn't go to the moon. We're sitting here in the year 2017. We should have rovers crawling all over that thing. We should have moon bases on there. But we don't. We don't. Oh, we got some hot water heaters connected to each other and floating around in space, and they call it a space station. Heck, they even scrapped the shuttle program.
Well, the space station is probably more useful to us than moon bases.
It's a pieola, man.
Dude, the moon is a very harsh mistress. There's a reason why we haven't set up moon bases there. Anything we build up there would not last very long because of the material that's on there. In fact, if anything, the best thing we could use from the moon would be to literally collect that dust and make sandpaper out of it.
Hmm.
You can sand everything smooth with that.
Cool. So, like...
Don't want sandpaper sanding away on your spacesuit.
So that means that whatever would have been up there is probably already sanded away by now.
It's definitely deteriorated to the point where if it was built to support life, it ain't going to do it no more. Doesn't mean it's gone, because it takes quite a long time for, you know, especially hard metal objects to wear completely down, but it only takes a pinhole in the vacuum of space. That's the whole point. We'd do better to build a bigger and better space station like I was talking about, using all the junk that's out there, and we get rid of all this crap that's in the way out there.
How are they keeping the doggone space station from getting holes punched in it all day long?
Well, that's just bouncing around. That's not actually grinding against it with the weight of another planet pushing it, a whole, you know, planetoid pushing against it. You're talking about small bodies that have very little mass. They're just moving at a high speed.
Yeah.
If you have something hard enough, it'll bounce right off of it.
Slams right into that aluminum can and pokes a hole in it and psss.
That's not aluminum. That's the problem with the thought process there. They spend a little more money than they do on your can of Coca-Cola, I think.
Well, that's lasted quite a while. They could still put some up there on the moon. We could have little rovers like driving around. You should be able to get on the internet and actually go explore the moon. But we're not.
That's what I'm saying. Those things wouldn't last very long. We'd be spending billions of dollars to put one up there, and then 5 years later, it'd be broke down.
Well, they spend billions of dollars on satellites anyway, and they send the money. They basically charge everybody who's got a cell phone a crazy price so that they can... You got a couple million people on one satellite, then that's a lot of money to pay for a new satellite if anything goes wrong. That's the whole point. If they wanted to fund a space program, they did it something like that, they could fund a space program. The average Joe would be more than happy to pay for it, knowing that they'd be able to drive a remote-controlled rover around the moon and explore. What a better teaching tool could you get than to teach kids where they could actually see the moon for themselves, not speculate on some old blurry old pictures of some CGI that NASA wanted to pop out there. You could see the real deal. And the conspiracy theories that say that we never went to the moon, they'd have to shut up because you could literally drive over there and see the old wreckage from when we were there or weren't. That's the point, man.
Hey, you haven't learned a lesson yet? No matter what evidence you show somebody, if they really want to believe something that's ridiculous, they're going to believe it anyway. There's nothing you can do to stop them from believing it. They'll find some little contrivance to basically convince themselves that it's a local buoy.
Well, it's still the same thing applies with the science. If you ain't got no proven fact on in front of them that you can show people when they come up with ideas like that,
mm-hmm.
How are you going to prove you were ever on the moon if you can't get a decent photo of it? Seriously.
Well, how about this, man? How about you stop trying to prove to other people and just prove it to yourself?
I don't need to prove it to myself. What I need to know...
Listen, you're missing my point. We're talking about whether we went to the moon or not, or you're talking about plasma reactors.
What I need to know... is why we're sitting in the year 2017 when we have access to some really awesome HD cameras that we could like take some really awesome pictures. Why ain't we taking pictures of everything? Why hasn't somebody who says that we have been to the moon took and put together a mission to prove it once and for all beyond a shadow of a doubt?
Because it won't be once and for all. That's the problem.
Well,
you guys didn't go up there. You just did that in a laboratory and used CGI to do it.
You know, there will come a day when people will be able to do it by themselves from home. And when that day comes and all truths are revealed, everybody will know one way or another because you could actually get up there and inspect it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying this year, 2017, we should already be doing that. It's as simple as that. But we're not. That's why there's so much room for conspiracy theories, because whether or not they want to hide things for, you know, security purposes or whatever, like if there's somebody's got a conspiracy out there that says there's aliens up there, and when we went up there, they told us to get lost.
Yeah, there's actually a number of astronauts that have been to the moon that claimed that. That's the sad thing.
Well, were there?
Don't know.
Were
you there?
Were there aliens up there? And if we go back, are they going to come down and attack us?
That was
something they want.
that's kind of what the astronauts that we're talking about were saying. They're saying that's why we didn't go back again.
Well, can't you understand how that could actually, perpetuate the whole conspiracy theory? You never go back. We're in the year 2017, and we're not crawling all over that with the technology we got available. It wouldn't take no millions of billions of dollars to send a camera up on the moon with some really powerful transmitting devices.
If you had the power somehow to change your side to that of an ant, would you want to change your side to that of an ant and go live with a colony of ants just to study their society? Are you serious? No way. No, you just stomp them out and dig down in the ground and get the gold. The ground, that's absolutely useless to them. And that's exactly, if there were any aliens out there smart enough to travel from universe to universe or galaxy to galaxy, we would be so far below them, we would not even be the equals of bacteria.
I don't even care if there's aliens out there. I'm trying to ask why it is that mankind can't seem to get their act together.
Too much greed, too many wars.
I'm just trying to find out why it is we're in the year 2017 and everybody's got virtual TV and reality and plasma screens and...
Hey, I want to know why every time I point the fact out and the reason behind something that people won't, like you, don't actually grasp what I'm saying and run with it. I told you, he used the simple term, greed. But the understanding of it, I've already pointed this out. There's a game where you basically break things and take the material and build things with the material, right?
Yeah.
But you set the game so you don't have to break anything. You don't have to spend that time to do it. You just build whatever you want by just pulling it out of thin air. And if you take people who complain about having to spend all that time because they just want to build something and give them the ability to just build, they don't have to collect, they will literally build something so quick they won't have any ideas within a short period of time after having built it that they'll just turn around and leave. Whereas if you make those same people stick around because they take the time to collect the materials on their own, while they're building the first thing, they have plenty of time to think of the next thing, and they stick around even longer. Sometimes for years. This term in video games is called grinding, where like you stand in one spot, say, and kill a monster that spawns and collect the gold it drops, and then wait till it respawns again and kill it again. Until you get enough gold that you can go, say, buy a better suit of armor or something like that, okay? And it goes back to the psychology that developed in the almost every species out there, because we, at one point, didn't even have the ability to poke holes in the ground and put seeds in the ground because we didn't know that it could be done in order to grow food. So when the winter came, if you didn't harvest enough stuff, you didn't collect enough of the stuff that had grown on its own and stored it up, you might starve to death that winter, which is what I call the squirrel and nut theory. Now, that's why we haven't gone to the moon, because we're still too busy collecting nuts. Whether those nuts are made of gold or they're made out of acorns, it doesn't matter. We're still too busy screwing around with the nuts. Even though we already have enough of them, we don't need any more.
Then our scientists need to go back to school because they ain't figured it out yet.
It ain't the scientists, man. They're the ones that just want to go ahead and build. And they have the ideas. They stay interested.
What would happen if you came up with some kind of a chemical theory that for 10 cents you could produce a pound of true gold? What would happen to the monetary system as far as gold goes?
Nothing, because I'm going to kill you.
People would have to find other things to use gold for. Because it would be cheaper to build things out of gold than it would be out of concrete.
That's true. But like I said, you wouldn't get a chance to do anything with it because somebody would kill you from ruining the value of all the gold they've spent all that time grinding away to keep.
All right. Well, I guess y'all proven my point. I guess it's all waste of time. We ain't going to space. That's it.
No, it's a waste of time to wait for someone else to do it. If you want it done, we need to do it ourselves.
Well, then build that chemical that's going to make the gold, so I can afford to buy me the materials to literally. I could build a spaceship right now, start to finish. I could sit there and show you exactly what needs to be done in order to build the doggone thing. But the money that it would take to actually produce the parts is so ridiculous that it's well beyond the average Joe's even grip. But we got every doggone piece of technology to literally build perfect, I mean, 150% efficient equipment, and we don't do it. And we're sitting here talking about whether we did or didn't go to space or to the moon. I couldn't care less whether we did or didn't go on the moon. All I'm trying to ask is the question is, if we did go there in 1969, then why in the heck ain't we crawling all over it now? But there's a reason under this. Oh, it's too hard. We can't, because it's not going to last long. It's going to cost too much money. And look, you could put a doggone 3D printer, automatic 3D printer on there to kick these things out like a doggone freaking assembly line. You could have rovers crawling all over that thing right now. We should know so much about the moon, we don't even know enough about the ocean floor to even know what our own planet is. Because science has failed humanity, and humanity has failed humanity.
That is my point when I said everybody wants to think out of the box. I want to think inside the box, because there are corners we haven't even touched.
But all I'm saying,
this earth that we need, and metal we need, but we don't even know that it's here.
All I'm saying is it's an aggravation to see the things that go on in this world. If people starving to death in this world, we can't resolve it by now. It ain't getting resolved, and it has to be a deliberate starving of the people of the world. It has to be a deliberate polluting of the planet. It has to be a deliberate fact that everybody out there is still homeless and there's still wars going on. It is being done deliberately, because there's no way in the heck, with all the technology that I got access to myself right now, that the leadership of the world and the money makers of the world don't have access to the technology to resolve everything. We're still building houses out of sticks in places where the doggone tornadoes will bring a 300 mile an hour wind and just shred it up into sticks.
Hey, I have one thing to say, okay? Stop harping about the dream team and let's just focus on any team. Let's get a team together. It doesn't matter if the dream team or not. If you get a group of people, they don't have to be the dream team. They'll still succeed at doing whatever it is. They might not do it as fast as this epic dream team that you keep talking about.
You get what I'm saying? We just need a team, period. But we need a team, a real team, not just a group of people. We need a team, people who are going to work together.
Right.
Of the
whole. Well, you guys just must have missed the point then, because those people are the dream team.
Yep.
It's what I've been saying all along. Every single one of y'all got some talents. It doesn't matter who you are out there listening in, you got talent. You might be the best guitar player in the world. You might be the worst guitar player in the world, but you might be the best cook in the world. And all you got to do is network amongst each other and start building things, utilizing all the science that you've learned. It's ridiculous, because for whatever purpose that the leadership of the world doesn't want us to advance, whether it's to be enslaved forever and a day, so we can be under the thumb and then keep continuity of government. They're out there bombing people right now. I didn't agree with that, but they're still doing it. Supposedly, there's still starving people on the planet. Why? We got more than enough resources to resolve all the issues, and I can hear a million and one excuses why we don't do it. It all falls back to greed and money. But if the average Joe ever wants to resolve the so-called crises of the world, we don't have no energy crisis. We ain't got no climate crisis. We ain't got no pollution crisis. It's just a bunch of people complaining crisis that we got. Because we got the technology necessary to resolve all of it. Every last bit of it. There ain't one problem that you could put down here on this earth outside of the fact that people just won't do it. That's the only reason why it ain't being done. Ain't got no money. It's too hard. Look, I told everybody I have lousy manufacturing skills and I couldn't sell a gold tooth to a pimp. But I got mechanical knowledge in my head unlike you can possibly imagine. I can visualize that spaceship you want to fly around in. Now take those words out of my head and build it. It's as simple as that. That plasma reactor, show you how to heat water using milliamps. And don't take no current flow to do that. You're not having to put a whole lot of, like a regular 1500 watt element. Do you realize how much energy it takes to run a 1500 watt element? You got two hot water heaters, one in this house and one in that house, and they're both running all year long trying to boil that water. Well, that's going to rack your electric bill up. You got compressors in all your freezers. There's a compressor in that freezer, one over there. There's one in your refrigerator. There's one in the mini fridge. All of those are sucking energy down. And that's because the only equipment that we have access to is the junky, inefficient equipment that we buy from all these people out there because they want these things to break down or they want them to drain you dry as far as finances whenever you try to run them to keep your stuff cold. I'm telling you, there's a better way to do it. There's an easier way to do it. And the only way it's ever going to get manufactured is if you get people motivated to start manufacturing using the technologies available. All these people that got to think they got to go to college to get some sort of sheepskin so that they can now work inside there. If you want to hear pure ridiculousness? I was a boiler technician in the United States Navy. I learned everything there was to know about boilers. Right? And then I get out of the doggone Navy. I go to try to find a job in the people's society, in the civilian world, and I find a doggone boilermaker union. Do you know they wouldn't hire me for the Boilermaker Union just because I didn't have no geometry or trigonometry under my belt? But I could run that boiler better than probably 80 to 90% of all the people that were running those boilers. But because I didn't have trigonometry or geometry, they wanted to hire me into the boiler union. Told me to go to college and get those under my belt and then they might hire me. Now, is that ridiculous?
Kind of, sort of.
How hard is it to boil water, for Pete's sake? How hard is it to understand that you can generate 650 to 1250 PSI and turn turbines with it? Heck, we were making our own gaskets back in 1984 for huge valves. We knew how to do that. Their boilers ain't any different than the ones that were on them ships. But that's the kind of thing you gotta do around here. You gotta go to college and hope like heck that you learn enough in college that when you get out, somebody's willing to hire you. Why is the college rate of how many people get hired when they spend $20,000, $30,000, $60,000 or more dollars per year to go to college and they get out and they can't find a job? Because I'll tell you why, they're not teaching them nothing in college. They're coming out just as stupid as they went in. And they can't blend into job industries because when they get out there, they have no hands-on skills. They haven't worked on any machinery. Only got the book.
You know, you said something about they're not teaching them anything in college. They took a survey here about 8 or 10 years ago. Miami State University in Florida, 2/3 of the sophomore class could not spell Miami State University correctly.
Yeah, the United States is supposedly 28th in education.
Half of the junior class, half of the three-year students could not put their finger on the Atlantic Ocean on a globe without pain. Yet they could look out the east window of the college and see the Atlantic Ocean, yet they could not put their finger on the Atlantic Ocean on a globe of the world.
So
what do they teach these kids in school?
They're not. They're teaching them how to be politically correct, how to not offend each other and render their safe spaces. That's it. Look, when I talk about the flat earth, when I talk about whether or not we did or didn't go to space, I'm doing it to get under your skin. Because I'm asking the tough questions. If we were back there in 1969 and we had men standing on that doggone rock up there in space, and he was able to stand there for several hours going around checking out and having fun and hitting golf balls and stuff, he had one awesome life support system that had one impressive battery supply that was able to take that really hot and really cold, because it's hotter than heck in the sun and colder than heck in the shade, and it was able to keep his body at 98.6 degrees without him either frying or fizzling or being sucked off into the vacuum of space. That was impressive technology back in 1969. Now you tell me why we're sitting here in 2017 and we're not crawling all over that rock. And I will tell you, you're just an apologist for NASA, you're an apologist for the government, you're an apologist for the bankers, you're an apologist for all the global elitists of this world, because you ain't got a clue. If we supposedly did what they said we did back in 1969, then we should be all over that thing right now. We should be all over Mars. We should be all over. We should be everywhere. And we should have technologies that would resolve all the so-called starvation of the world. We should have technologies that would build indestructible houses. We are slacking. I did a video called, or a podcast, I named it Skeeter on My Junk just to be controversial, and I sat down and I laid it out from the time that mankind supposedly evolved and discovered doggone fire. They found fire before they found clothes, so they were running out there in the woods, in the jungle, with all the skeeters and dinosaurs and everything else there. They were butt naked, running through the cold jungle. And it took them a while to find fire, so now they were butt naked with fire and sharp objects in their hand, and then several million years later, they finally discovered how to make clothes. Are you kidding me? If mankind is that stupid, we got some serious problems. We're here in the year 2017, and you go back and look at some of these school books that they're teaching kids out of their ridiculousness. There ain't no science in them books. It's a bunch of liberal propaganda talking about the planet and the polar bears are going to drown. Polar bears were designed to swim. Polar bears were designed for cold weather. They were adapted.
What did they do on ice or land?
Yeah, go out there and try to put a life jacket on a polar bear so he don't drown. Let's see how well you fare.
You know, a polar bear can swim over 50 miles in 4-hour period.
Polar bears are going to be just fine. It's the people I'm worried about. We got the technology. We got the technology to do some amazing things. But for some reason or another, everybody would want to sit around and argue about everything stupid. Get out there on YouTube and see what kind of people or things or people are doing. They got people filling up condoms with water and dropping them on their head. Ain't no wonder. I think if the monkeys of the world are sitting around looking at the humans of the world and they're saying, like, man, these guys are nuts.
They need to get a life.
Yeah. The dang condom challenge, man. Fill a condom up in water and throw it on your head and see if you can make a chin out of it. Are you kidding me? We're in the year 2017. We still ain't on the moon. That's why. Doggone it. So all the NASA groupies out there, that's what I got to say to you. NASA ain't done nothing. Period. Government ain't done nothing. And for all those people out there that, rooting them all on, giving them your tax money, tell me, where did all that science go? Where did all these exotic materials go? Have we been to space or have we not been to space? I couldn't care less. I'm just asking the question. I was born in 1965 and I've seen all the technology from A to B, and I see that we could have a long time ago resolved so many issues that it is ridiculous. We got people out fighting over crude oil. We got people fighting over whether or not to use the crude oil because they believe that that crude oil is causing climate change, is causing the planet to heat up, and we're all going to freaking die. Stan Myers in 1979 was running around in a car, a dune buggy, that he was running off of water. There's been electric cars back in the 1800s. We could have perfected the electric car to such an extent right now, you would never even have to stop to plug the doggone thing in. Using exotic materials and solar and wind technology, you could make that car never have to be plugged in. You could use that car, have that car running off of thorium. And with all the radioactive crud on this planet that everybody keeps complaining about, you got enough fuel to run this planet for the next 25,000 years if you believe their science. But it ain't happening. And it ain't gonna happen. That's all there is to it. The average Joe is never going to make it happen. And the rest of the people out there are going to continue to sell their version of whatever's best light bulb for you. It's like the whole hairspray thing back there. There was a day when they said that there was this hole in the ozone layer. We got to do something. We got to change hairspray. We can't have these cans of hairspray anymore because it's causing holes in the ozone layer. And they suckered everybody into changing the doggone Freon in their doggone cars and their air conditioners to a different type of Freon because now this other one was classified by the EPA to be bad stuff. And they turned around and made millions of bucks just by telling you how to change your Freon. We didn't even need Freon. We could have used water vapor to do the same job. You pressurize a gas, it heats up, you let that gas expand rapidly, it does just the opposite, causes cooling effect, which is what the doggone air conditioners, refrigerators, all of those do right now. They pressurize Freon, the Freon goes through an expansion chamber, is allowed to expand rapidly, which produces cooling effect, which then in turn cools down your food, and then that gas that's inside that sealed container gets recycled back into the system, pressurizes again, then expands rapidly, cools down, and does it over and over and over again until something goes wrong with your air conditioner or your refrigerator and you go out and buy a new one. So the technology has been there all along. You didn't even need Freon to do the same job. You just had to understand basic physics and basic science to understand what was going on. And you could have made a freezer, a refrigerator, an air conditioner using nothing more than water.
Okay, period. Now, to prove your theory here about big business lying to the people and the people believe it, the reason for getting rid of the original Freon was because it supposedly destroys ozone, which we need in our atmosphere. But the problem you've got here is they didn't tell people that Freon is heavier than air. It will not, it does not rise, it will not rise unless you blow it up there. If you turn Freon loose in a matter of minutes, it's all over the ground in low spots. Freon is heavier than air.
So is carbon dioxide. So is carbon dioxide. So is carbon monoxide.
No, Freon is heavier than carbon dioxide.
I know, but I'm just saying that as opposed to oxygen, 10,000 feet is the highest you can go without supplemental oxygen. 14,000 feet, you need an oxygen mask. And at 30,000 feet, you got to pressurize the cabin and pump in the air and scrub off the carbon.
But it was a big lie, a forest, just to get the people to stop using that Freon. And the only reason for it is DuPont is the one that developed Freon, the original Freon. What was it, R22 or whatever? But anyway, they're the ones that did it, but their patent was running out. That means anybody could make it. So they put up the daggone money and had it outlawed and came up with a different Freon.
Yep. The coal industry got bankrupted, the doggone fuel industry, everybody figured they got to go out and go to war with people who had oil. All we've seen throughout this history is pure ridiculousness, people fighting over resources that could have been utilized in such an efficient manner. You wouldn't even have this issue right now.
It was over 50 years ago that a college chemist devised a way to take just pure garbage from any household in his backyard in a matter of hours, turn it into crude oil.
Well,
that was over 50 years ago, and here we're still fighting wars over crude oil on the other side of the world.
You know,
great.
Did they say
billions of tons of trash away in landfills every day?
You know,
every day, and we could be taking all this trash, turning it into oil, and run our own vehicles.
Yeah. Do you know that they say that the movies and science fiction will like show you things, and then ironically enough, they end up out there on the market someday down the line. Look at the doggone Back to the Future, the one where he had Mr. Fusion and he put garbage out of the trash can into this machine and it basically made fuel for him to go to point A to point B.
Right. That's exactly what this college professor did. He's a chemist, college professor of chemistry. And he's in his backyard. This simple little item, I mean, in fact, part of what he used was just nothing more than galvanized trash cans from Home Depot or Lowe's.
Well, supposedly science says that we're made of protons, neutrons, electrons, so on. And what?
I said your mamatrons.
Thomas knows how, just physically and chemically, how to take kudzu and turn it directly into gasoline, not crude oil. And it's so simple, it's pathetic. And yet there's millions of people in Georgia and South Carolina and Florida complaining about all this kudzu. Quit complaining. Turn it into gasoline by running your own vehicles.
It's why, look, that's why I get aggravated. Because we got everything out there. I don't care what it is, including yourself, your fuel, your energy, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. And people keep on trying to tell me there ain't no such thing as free energy. And you might be right, because people are enslaved. You got 3/4 of water in your body. That's hydrogen and oxygen. There's a whole lot of energy in that amount of water. You know, there's even stories of people spontaneously combusting. I got some theories on that we ought to talk about sometime, but I don't want to get into it right now. But either way, somehow or another, people end up spontaneously bursting into flames. All right, and there you can take and grab a hold of a voltmeter, and you can measure a voltage coming off of just your body alone. The body's producing 98.6 degrees temperature all day long, unless you're sick, then it'll jump up to 100 and some odd degrees, and at 103 degrees, the body will boil your brain, and you'll die. So you're a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions, and you're able to run around, walk and talk, and be animated. And there ain't no such thing as free energy. Look, I'm going to tell everybody out there to say there ain't no such thing as free energy. Y'all need to just shut up. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. You're surrounded in free energy.
Swimming in it.
Right now, those volcanoes and those thermal vents and the sun and all the energy floating around you is basically boiling water and evaporating it, and then it goes up there, the water gets up there, it gets cooler, produces clouds and ice crystals, and that ice crystals rubbing into each other produce static electricity and create lightning, and lightning strikes across the hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen and all the other gases in the atmosphere and creates ozone. And so the earth is like basically regenerating itself. We are a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. It has piezoelectrics, all kinds of different metals and minerals in the ground. And as this is being heated up, it's producing a magnetic field that is basically surrounding this earth and causing it to have its own shield, so to speak. And as this water molecules are all broke up as a gaseous state, you're literally walking around in a sea of hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen and pressure and power. The wind's blowing, the sun's shining, there's heat There's so many things, so many different things that you could tap into as far as energy wise, that if you've done it efficiently, you could tap into nature, never use up even a fraction of what nature has to produce, and work in perfect harmony with nature without ever polluting anything. So why aren't we doing it? I'm telling you why we ain't doing it, because the governments of the world and the money men of the world and all the other global elitists of the world have the average Joe snowballed, and they've told you that you can't do it. Please, Daddy, let me make my own electricity. No. Look. For all those folks out there that's afraid of radioactive material, go out there and ask the tough questions. Whether you believe it's going to kill you or not, go out and ask the tough questions. Galen Windsor, nuclear scare scam. Go watch that video. They said, well, he died of leukemia. Well, he also died at 82 years old, too. That's the part they didn't tell you about. So, if what Galen Windsor was talking about is the truth, which we all got to get down to the truth of what Galen Windsor was talking about, you could have had free electricity all along. If Tesla would have ever been able to finish Wardenclyffe, you could have had free electricity all along. But guys like J.P. Morgan and all the jerks out there that wanted to make a lot of money had to put a meter on it, and so that's why you ain't got what you got. And that's why you got smart meters on there to make sure that you ain't trying to steal some of what they got.
You know, the thing is, Tesla wasn't really a rich man, but he wanted to give this stuff away, but he wanted people that wanted to sell it to finance it. I mean, if he had figured out a way to put a meter on it, everybody would have jumped on the bandwagon.
No, what should have happened back during Tesla's day is the average Joe should have come together and back him. That's it.
That's what should happen. But they're greedy, too. They want to keep their own money.
Who, the average Joe?
Yeah, but there was no media that would actually promote something like that so that people would even find out what was going on until it was too late.
Well, right. Now that we know it, why can't we do it?
There you go.
Is it because there's too many people saying, why haven't we done it? Why aren't you doing it?
Do you know why we ain't done it?
Here's a picture of him. Stop asking, why don't you do it, and start asking, why don't I do it?
Do you want to know why I ain't done it? It's called the FCC, the Federal Communications System. Go look on any electrical appliance that you have in your house. Pick up your alarm clock, flip it over, look at the label on the back there. What's it say?
I know all about that because we used to work with RF equipment, and it's called building a cage around it.
That's right. And so these guys got really wise to understanding that if anybody was to ever realize that this isn't just about whether or not you're going to interrupt somebody's radio or TV. This is about if you make a device that's going to produce energy wave that's going to go out and could potentially disrupt anybody or even be able to send out wireless free energy to the world. No, you can't have that.
The point is, though, you can do all that inside an RF cage.
Sure, we can do it on a local scale, but how am I going to send it across the world?
Listen, without asking anybody's permission, you start tinkering around. Remember, you were talking about receiving and getting issues with helicopters and stuff like that when you were messing with that plasma reactor. Build a cage around it. All you got to do is get some chicken wire and ground it to your earth ground on the house.
Yep.
That way, know it's going off, and then you can finish developing it and use it to power a house. And when people see that you're powering your house off, they're going to be like, well, can I do that? Well, sure, here's the information. Go do it yourself. These are all the people I contacted, too. Now, all of a sudden, you're generating business for people who were making parts that the average person is not going to have the materials or the skill set that they've developed to do, like that glass blowing.
What about the people that would want one, that wouldn't want to take the time and trouble to study on how to make it? Then all of a sudden, now you've created a job for somebody else that does know how, and so he builds it and sells it to that person that installed it for him. Come on. All you do, you're not going to kill jobs. Oh, you're going to destroy a few jobs,
for every job.
I'm not worried about killing jobs. I'm not worried about killing jobs. That's the least thing. All I'm saying...
That's exactly what you said. It's the least of the problems.
All I'm saying...
It has to be a big issue, and it's not.
It's the folks that don't want people doing what it is that we're talking about have put in the place infrastructure such as the FCC so that you can't get by with trying to transmit wireless energy to anybody. And the ones out there in the alternative energy research don't realize the reason why they can't transmit too far is because they're hitting it too fast. It's that simple.
Hey, that's because somebody asked.
Huh?
They wouldn't know to tell you no if you never asked if you could do it in the first place.
Well, I didn't ask, and I sent a wave out that people made videos on.
Right, but I'm saying, though, at some point somebody started asking instead of just doing it.
They called it apocalyptic sounds heard around the earth. I about died laughing when I heard that. I did the same thing Tesla did. Do you know how many doggone crystals are in the ground, especially in Missouri? Piezoelectric crystals, do you know what kind of acoustic sound that you can get out of a cave? It's one heck of a bass cannon. And if you send an energy wave through the dirt, there's iron, there's all kinds of different metals, there's minerals, that is a conductive point that can go all the way down there. And think about what a high frequency wave would do to a piezoelectric crystal. Causes it to buzz, right? All right, well, while that piezoelectric crystal's buzzing inside of a cave, what's that doing?
Yeah, I get it.
It's producing an acoustic wave. And since I'm sitting on top of a water table, wow. Think about it. So, I took a doggone little thing that was normally for a guitar amplifier, wired it into a coil system that was connected to an earth ground and was trying to transmit a signal wirelessly across to my radio station of my radio, a doggone stereo on the wall there, and I was trying to tune into the frequency that I could actually broadcast onto that doggone stereo. Hit the wrong frequency, and the 6-disc CD changer started popping in and out and finally jammed. In the process, I'm sitting here talking inside this microphone and banging on it, going oh, oh, like that inside the doggone microphone, and all I did was tear up my stereo.
Hey.
What?
You're talking about the sound that you generated in those caves and whatnot?
Yeah.
All I got to say to that is, and this is why we can't have anything nice. Stop breaking everything.
But after I finally gave up because I couldn't get it to transmit to the doggone stereo system, I took that thing off of there and I was doing some other experiments. And about a week or so later, I start seeing videos pop up on the internet. Oh, apocalyptic sounds heard around the world. And the moment I heard that sound, I knew exactly what it was. I even did a video called Reality Replicating the Sound so that people could get put two and two together. But you know, not one single individual ever put two and two together. None. Matter of fact, that video probably even hardly got any views on it. But it don't matter, because the science, it's already there. Tesla was transmitting electricity through the ground. We still transmit electricity through the ground. We transmit electricity through the air. We do it wirelessly. And everybody's like, well, y'all can't run your house on radio frequencies. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I mean, whoa, why not?
Mike says, if we are living in a sea of energy, perhaps we have been drowning in it at the point we are trying to obtain energy. Can Tesla coil be used in a way to get rid of energy? No. Science says that. Science says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. All we're doing is tapping into it and guiding it where we want it. When you slap the water, you produce a wave. That's it. It's that simple. And when you slap the water, the wave goes out. Put a little boat in a pool. Smack the water. Watch the boat rock up and down. And so what you just did was you threw nature off balance, and the wave went out. And then as nature's coming back, you can sit there and watch that boat rock up and down. You're getting physical work while nature rebalances itself. They say water always finds its level. No matter where the water is, it will find its level. And you know that if you throw that level off of balance, you can actually produce a wave on one side, and if you do it enough, you can actually rock the water right out of the container. So all we're doing is basically throwing nature off balance, and as nature's rebalancing back out, we're getting work done. When the wind's blowing through there, you didn't stop the wind. You didn't even slow the wind down. All you did was tap into that energy as the wind's blowing by to turn generator head to turn, put some juice in your battery and run an appliance. That was it.
Hey, what did you say about slapping the water and rocking the wave?
All you're doing is throwing nature off balance.
No. You said that particular phrase, and the first thing came to my mind, and then it was, and then you can rock the Casbah.
Yeah, you can do that too. You think we're dancing around all this music that we listen to? All we're doing is producing waves. You can hear them. You can hear an acoustic wave. You can store an acoustic wave. I proved it in that doggone video. Energy yep. Transfer.
I believe the phrase music is just organized noise comes to mind.
Pretty much. Mark said stubble-filled transmitted voice through the ground. See? Muddy was talking about how you could take a piece of bamboo and cut a couple of exact same length, and one of you go up the creek and the other one go down the creek, and you guys could talk to each other in the water using that water as the medium to transmit that energy. I keep trying to tell everybody what you do forward, you can also do in reverse. If it can be scaled up, it can be scaled down. Once you understand that about energy and all the rest of it, putting the energy devices together ain't nothing. It's you're just making a radio transmitter, or you're making a pressure container. You're throwing nature off balance. Nature will slap it back out. There is just as much energy potential in a dead battery or a dead capacitor as there is in a fully charged battery or capacitor. You only have so much volume in either one of them. You can only store so much energy. There's just as many electrons in there when you started as there is when you left. All you did was charge one plate higher than the other, building up pressure inside that container. And because the battery poles are so far apart, they can't just jump across. You have to put a path such as a light bulb for that energy to transfer and balance itself back out. Once that energy balances itself back out, we call it a dead battery. It's that simple. Now that we know all this, if we can get together, if you don't want to call it the dream team because it sounds too whatever, just put your team together. But nonetheless, if you
come on, man, let's just do it. Stop talking about doing it. Let's do it.
You, me, and Raymond already have our dream team. I'm trying to motivate everybody else out there to build their dream team.
Hey, best way to do that is for us to get together and actually get some stuff done and show the world it can be done.
Well, let's lead by example.
Hey, every time somebody breaks a world record when it comes to athletics, all of a sudden everybody else is able to do it because they showed them it can be done.
All right.
Well.
What was it? I think it was you, Thomas, was the first one to say what Henry Ford said. If you think you cannot, or you think you can, you're right.
Jump over right. There.
Doesn't matter what you think.
Hey, folks.
If you think you can't, you can't. If you think you can, you can.
Folks, I put up.
Because Liz, you just said something a minute ago. Somebody said, you can't run your house on radio waves. Duh. Well, then you can. But Shaziz can.
I put up.
Can. Thomas can.
I put up. I put up or I shut up. I put in front of you right now a device that has been in existence since the late 1800s, and I put it right there. There's no patent on it. There's no copyright on it. It's right there in front of your face. It's on the, go to the ShazizRadio.com Mad Science Podcast page. Scroll down and look at that little reactor down there. Imagine that thing filled up with argon. Imagine whenever you hit it with a high frequency wave, you get a purple glow inside there from that argon. Science said heat is light and light is heat. So that tells me that if I can see it, then I'm getting heat. And I can transfer that heat through a conductor such as copper. And I can heat water or any other material with it. So I put it out there, run with it, and when you understand what this thing is actually capable of doing, then you can say that old Shaziz ain't never done nothing.
Well, you know, there is one person that has grabbed your idea.
Jermaine.
And is running with it, and that is Jermaine.
That's right.
A 17-year-old kid.
17-year-old kid, and he gets it. He gets it.
He gets it, and the thing is, I don't. But I know he. I know you're right, and I know he gets it. Therefore, that's why I am financially backing that kid all the way.
Raymond, do you have a fluorescent bulb that has been on for a while?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Okay, walk over there and put your hand just on it. Tell me how it feels.
Oh, I don't have them here. They're outside on the trailer. I've got a couple of hundred.
No, TV. I'm talking about, you got a light in your room right now, right?
All my lighting is in my office and in my shop is all LEDs. All
right, well, nonetheless, it's probably still warm.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, they're warm.
But my point is this. What you're looking at when you see that plasma reactor is a light bulb. That's it. You're looking at a light bulb. You're looking at a spark gap. You're looking at a plasma globe. You got argon inside there, or helium, or xenon, or let me read them all off once again, so that I can get it out there. All right, helium, neon, argon, krypton, and xenon. All of them, when energized with higher frequency, will produce visible light. And if science is not a hockahooey, then science told me that light is heat and heat is light. And so while you're burning all these incandescent light bulbs, imagine if you was capturing the wasted heat off of those light bulbs. Imagine if you had an incandescent light bulb with a coil system in there that you could circulate water right there directly in that heat, and you could literally have light at the same time while you're boiling your water. How much more efficient did that light bulb just become, energy-wise? You understand what I'm saying? Go up and grab a 150-watt light bulb after it's been running for a while.
I understand exactly what you're saying, because when I changed out all the lights in my shop with LEDs to save electricity, I realized as soon as winter came around, I had to spend more money to put heat in my shop because those lights were giving off heat. But with the TH in the summertime, I had to spend more money in electricity to cool the shop. So I've been thinking seriously about putting the TH fluorescent lights back and leaving the LEDs in, and in the wintertime, use the TH fluorescents, and in the summertime, use the LEDs.
Well, see, that's some smart move there. Because the doggone fluorescent bulbs have to have the gas warmed up so that they will energize faster and come on. Otherwise, you don't need the tungsten element in the end of those light bulbs. The only thing those are preheaters. That's it. They just warm it up. They warm up the gas so that it will energize faster. If you leave it alone, it'll blink for a while and it'll come on without the tungsten elements. And so, during the winter time is the time when you should be running the LEDs, because they don't require nothing but electron flow in order to interact with the materials inside the LEDs to produce photons of light, to release photons of light, what you see. And they can make, depending on what type of material they're using there, will determine the color of the light bulb.
You know, the thing is, your experiment you did, that the first time I went up to Arkansas to see you, you showed me about how to light up fluorescent light bulbs, even burn out fluorescent light bulbs.
Yeah.
It didn't make any difference. Light them up with 20,000 volts. I came home and did the same thing. And here's the deal. You get just as much light off of them and use way less electricity.
Well, and it didn't stop there because I also showed you how to burn, how to light up a tungsten element light bulb that was burnt. Do you remember the headlamp?
The thing is, I lit up 15 fluorescent light bulbs with the same amount of electricity, watts, amps, whatever you want to call it, the same amount of current flow, lit 15 bulbs using higher voltage.
Do you remember?
The actual wattage burned of a T8 is 28 watts. I lit 15 bulbs with something like 37.5 watts.
Mark in the chat room said, induction is a really overlooked way of grabbing free or excess wasted energy. I like that guy already. Because look, what I've been trying to point out right now is everything we've been doing the hard way. Those heating elements in your hot water heater are resistive loads, so they're going to cause you to draw more amperage and use more electricity to try to keep it running. And the only reason why that element doesn't burn up is because it's actually inside the water and it can't reach its thermal breakdown until that water reaches the right temperature to where that metal can actually burn in half. But if you put that same element out in the air, it won't take long. It will get hot enough that it will reach its thermal breakdown and that element will burn out as long as it's in it open to the atmosphere. But understanding that means that you can put it into the water and it's not going to burn in half because it is staying cool enough to not be able to reach its thermal breakdown. But in, because it's a resistive load, it's drawing a lot of amperage in order to run it. That's why I said that you don't need current watts and amps to produce heat. High frequency vibrates the protons, the neutrons, and electrons so rapidly that it does the equivalence of what it does in your microwave. When you send a microwave inside there, it rocks the water molecules so fast that it produces heat.
You ever put two sticks together to start a fire?
Yeah, and you wear yourself out.
You got to do it really fast.
That's right.
But therefore, you get small sticks. You don't take two logs, 6 inches in diameter, and try to rub them together. You have them really small. That way you can rub them really fast. And they heat up really fast. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
You're not using the amperage to heat the water. You're using the frequency to cause the water to move.
Listen, NASA took a really highly refined piece of uranium in a ball and put it inside a reactor and then had thermal couples and thermal piles or whatever on the outside, thermoelectrics. Because this thing was such a highly radioactive freaking piece of material, the energy being released is being released so rapidly, and you gotta focus in on that word rapidly, quickly, fast. The energy is coming off of that fast because it's all crammed in there, and that high frequency, high speed of that energy being released is actually heating up the thermal couples that is generating the electricity. So they took a solid piece of stuff right there that was really highly energized and allowed it to basically produce heat that turned around and produced thermoelectrics. So what I'm trying to show you is that every transformer out there produces waste energy. Every automobile out there produces waste energy. Every light bulb produces waste energy. And they all release waste energy in the form of what?
Heat.
So, if you can see it, if it's visible light, it is producing heat. Plasma is producing heat. And you can speed it up or slow it down to whatever frequency range you want. Mark said every wire in your house is going across the country. I've got to try to read this again. Every wire in your house or going across the country has an electromagnetic field around it and getting wasted in the air. And to prove what he just said, everybody go out there on eBay, look up wireless AC tester, and buy you one. They're like $5 or $6. Take that wireless AC tester, walk out towards your power line that's outside your house and turn it on. And you will be able to see exactly how far that electromagnetic field is coming out from every single power line. You'll notice that it's anywhere from 30, 40, 50 feet, depending on how many wires is actually up there. And you'll see how much energy is being wasted just sending it to your house. So, how hot is that transformer on top of that? Anybody ever took a thermal imager to a transformer?
Oh, yeah.
My point is this. What they said, waste heat. You're going to not be able to get out more energy than you ever put in because of the second law of thermodynamics, blah, blah, blah. There's no way you're ever going to get out more than you ever put in, blah, blah, blah. You take a little bit of gas, your internal combustion engine is only 36% efficient. That's a waste. You're wasting fuel. When you run it, the faster you run it, the less fuel gets burnt, the more gets put out the exhaust. And so in order to try to clean up the exhaust, they put a catalytic converter on there, which uses heat to reburn some of that gas and send some of it back up in through your engine, and the rest of it hopefully clean by the time it comes out the exhaust pipe. As that engine's running, it's vibrating like that, right? And it's producing heat. All right, friction, which is producing heat and eventually causes parts to fail because of friction and heat. Take away the radiator off your car and run that engine. It will literally get so incredibly hot that it will glow in the dark, and eventually it will seize itself up and destroy every single part in that engine.
And parts will actually weld themselves together.
So if the internal combustion engine is only 36% efficient but has the destructive power to literally tear itself apart, you want to tell me it doesn't produce more energy than you're putting in? I want to tell you you didn't pay attention in science. Period. Anybody want to dispute that?
No.
So if you take that internal combustion engine and you utilize it in its maximum possibility, right now, there's probably a billion school buses all over this planet. They got big old Cummins diesel engines in them. Some of them's got white. Some of them's got gasoline engines in them. Nonetheless, what they've done is they took an engine that will run at approximately 220 degrees. It'll keep that water warm, and that water circulates all the way through the engine and out through the radiator and back up in through the floor of that bus and into several, not one, but at least three separate cores that basically blows heat. And during the dead of winter, when it's 0 degrees outside, you have kids hollering, "You got to turn the heat down because I'm about to suffocate." They're opening the windows in the wintertime because it gets too hot in there, because the energy that that bus is able to produce is it puts out enough heat inside that doggone bus that'll have you sweating bricks. Mark said, hard to talk about thermodynamics when they don't even know what an electron is or if it's even there. Nobody's ever got a picture of an electron. It's theoretical. That's what I keep saying about science. Science is theory. Everything out there. Newton, theory. Einstein, theory. All of them. Every one of them out there. You think of any of the laws of physics and they're all theoretical because we can't get down to the brass tacks of what actually makes every single thing function and how it's actually occurring. So it's all theoretical. Space and time and everything, quantum physics, all theoretical. But what you can observe is that every single thing out there, every single electrical device, every single mechanical device seems to have limitations because of friction, because of heat, because of losses. And since you don't think you understand it, just like he mentioned about Henry Ford, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. What I'm trying to point out to the average Joe of the world here is you have already experienced free electricity. You have every single thing necessary to get free electricity. Water is hydrogen and oxygen. People think that it has to be cracked with the electrolysis process. You have to have these two plates and you put this stuff inside there and then you make it where the water's more conductive and you can crack the water molecule and you can produce hydrogen, but you can't do it fast enough and it takes too much power putting in to do the electrolysis process. You draw too many amps in order to do it. Well, in the process of doing that, I want anybody out there who's got some real scientific motivation to them to tell me what it is that happens when you do the electrolysis process. What do you generate through the electrolysis process that causes that thing to be so inefficient? It gets hot. The water gets hot. It's simple. So you know that heat is a constant throughout every bit of energy usage out there. Heat is a constant. It's a bad thing in the mainstream circuit of what you want to run. You don't want to run your engine too hot because it'll ruin it. Heat is powerful. Water, same thing. Water is the most stable molecule on the earth and it can be the most destructive molecule on the earth. Utilized properly, you can boil water into steam and you can use that steam pressure to turn turbines, to turn generators, to turn the electricity out to run all the inefficient electrical appliances that you run today. But nonetheless, follow it all the way back to that steam engine. What was it? It was heat. Heat and water. So, if light is heat and heat is light, then you know that if you're able to produce invisible light, you can generate heat. If you can generate heat, you can send a probe all the way to Pluto with a piece of plutonium that has the capability of lasting not one, not two, not three, four, five, six, seven, eight, but 9 years. Going through the deep, dark space, able to produce over 200 watts of power by the time it gets there, take a picture. Somebody had to have a flashlight on that thing because it's so far away from the sun. How else would you be able to see it unless you was using thermal imaging or radio technologies? But nonetheless, you used heat to generate a picture that you then in turn took that picture and sent it all the way back to the deep, dark space so that we could see a picture of what Pluto looks like. Folks, you're being played like a banjo. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Oh, by the way, that banjo is way out of tune.
Yep. So, if you want free energy, let's get together. Let's build some stuff. Let's share the ideas with people. And let's get it done. It's as simple as that. You know, all these people out here that think they're so highly educated ain't figured it out yet. I don't understand it. They don't have no trouble jumping on there and cussing you out and calling you all kinds of filthy names because you said something crazy like it don't take no current watts and amps to do what it is that you're saying. Because you understood that if you rub two sticks together fast enough, you start a fire. Am I wrong, Raymond?
No, you are absolutely right about that. In time.
Well, if you're sending a high voltage wave across a spark gap, you are literally rubbing two sticks together because you've got this energy that is going in there and interacting with whatever it is that we call the electron, and those electrons are rubbing up against each other, producing friction, which in turn produces heat. It's ionizing the air in between that spark gap into the fourth state of matter being plasma. And they say light is heat and heat is light, vice versa, so that heat has to transfer somewhere. And if you're going to be just wasting it off into space, then all you got is a nifty plasma ball that people can run their fingers on and watch the little lightning bolts follow their finger around.
You know, Thomas said something earlier. You just said something a few minutes ago, and I followed up with something else. And I would like to put all three things together for the listeners out there based on what you just said. Thomas says that music is nothing more than organized noise. You said, you people out there that believe all this crap you've been taught are being played like a banjo, and I said, and the banjo is out of tune.
Yep.
People, you need to listen, and you need to really think about what Thomas Chazelle and I have just said.
We're showing you how to tune the banjo.
Lies over and over and over again so the big corporations can make money.
Mm-hmm.
Energy is everywhere. You are floating in it. You're swimming in it. You're walking through it. It's all over the place. It's just you got to learn how to use it properly.
I want to prove.
You can't do this. You can't. If you believe you cannot, then you cannot. You will never, because you honestly believe you cannot. The only way you're going to actually do anything is to believe that you can. And if you can, then you can. And now it's time to just do it.
I want to prove I know what I'm talking about. I want anybody out there who really wants to get down to the bottom of science to do one experiment. I'm going to teach you in less than 5 minutes how to make a radio transmitter. Less than 5 minutes, you'll be able to transmit across a signal across to any AM radio out there. Less than 5 minutes. You get one blinking LED. One little coil of wire. You don't even have to count the turns. Just make a couple coils on there. It doesn't matter. All right? One capacitor and one transistor. One resistor. And the only reason for the resistor is so that you don't put too much energy into the blinking LED and burn it up, because they only like a little bit of voltage. You take that and you run it all in series with each other. You got the capacitor being charged by your power source. You got the LED in series with the transistor and the, or not the transistor, the resistor and the power source from the capacitor. Charge that thing up. All right. Put it next to a radio and listen, as every time that LED blinks, you will hear a noise on the radio.
Hey, you do it a lot simpler like this, man. Just get a battery, two wires, and a file.
Yep.
Tie one wire each of the leads on the battery. Tie one of those wires to the end of the file and take the other wire and just rub it across the file and listen to the radio.
Yep.
Then you don't even have to have it set to the right station, because it's going to hit everything.
Yep. And all you're doing is producing a wave and sending that wave out, and it's being picked up. That's it. Tesla showed you how to make an antenna. He showed you how to make a transmitter, a receiver. He showed you how to take high frequency and send a wave out farther. He showed you how to take a low frequency and send it out even farther. The faster you pop that wave, the stronger the wave is going to become in the general vicinity. But after you get too fast with that wave, it's only going to go out so far, because the field is expanding and collapsing at such a rapid rate, it doesn't have time to bump the next wave out further. So in order to bump the wave out further, you find out how far that wave will go out, and then you time it, times the time it took for that wave to make the full expansion, and then right as it gets to its maximum, you hit another wave right behind it, and you'll send it out just like sending ripples in a pond. That's how we're able to transmit so far. And let's see. So we got Mark in there says, radio frequencies travel at the speed of light, and light is heat, and heat is light. Connect there. That's a good one. A transistor can heat a Peltier element. That's another good one, because if you look at your transistors, because they're turning on and off so fast, they actually have to be hooked to a heat sink. Otherwise, they get too hot and burn up. So heat will destroy it. But you could use that transistor and a heat sink to use that transistor to use the Peltier element and the temperature difference on the Peltier element to literally produce electricity to help you run that doggone transmitter. But you can't never get out more than you put in. No, Mark, you ain't spamming the chat room. That's good stuff. Everything from sub-audible to audible to radio frequency to X-ray, gamma to light is all the same spectrum. Everything, every energy out there, it's all the same energy. It's just in different forms. It's as simple as that. Doesn't matter what type of energy it is. An acoustic wave, you get that sound wave coming through there, and it hits your ear and stimulates your eardrum to the point where you can actually understand, like Morse code, whatever is being sent out to you. We figured out how to use paper to make a diaphragm to send out an acoustic wave. We figured out how to use piezoelectric crystals to do the same thing by vibrating the crystal on and off. Short waves, long waves, whatever, and then you can actually transmit data. You can transmit data with light. You can transmit data with sound. You can transmit data across any form of electricity out there. It doesn't matter. Static electricity. You could transmit data using static electricity. And the higher the voltage, the less it likes to be contained. And so, if you get the voltage too high, it's obviously going to go through the insulating wire and start a fire. I don't know what I'm talking about, Raymond. Sorry. Did you guys fall off? Skype must have died. I lost Raymond and Thomas. But anyway, it's there. It's been there. A lot of heat being generated. And we know that NASA is able to utilize that heat to produce 200 watts. And they did it with some supposedly a ball of plutonium inside a reactor. And that plutonium is depleting and releasing energy so rapidly that it's producing friction in the materials surrounding it, which is producing heat. You know that high voltage will burn through the coating of a wire. If you put more than 60 hertz into an electric motor, that the insulation in the electric motor will reach its thermal breakdown and fail, and you'll burn that motor up. If the wire is too thin and the pressure is built up too much, you'll actually burn the wire in half. So that's why you put breaker boxes and fuses in between your circuit so that you don't draw too many amps and heat the wire up to the liquid state and burn it in half and burn up your stuff. But the thing that's all in common is the heat. Mark said if an antenna has gain, you can apply 100 watts of power and get more radiated power than you want than what you put in. My brain ain't working, my eyes crooked. That's HF radio. Yeah, there's actually some groups out there that'll take CB radios and amp them up real good and shoot lightning bolts off the back of their car with the antennas. They figured it out. Have you ever seen any of those guys? Man, you guys got your mics muted? Man, that stinks. Anyway, the fact of the matter is everything out there that you need to in order to build any kind of generating system has already been there. There's things already in existence. You can go out and get you a Fisher and Paykel or a Samsung direct drive washing machine, and there's a generator, a stator motor right inside there, a permanent magnet stator motor that normally runs off of a pulse DC circuit. The only thing that ever goes bad in them are the Hall effect sensors that tell the circuit when to turn on and off, or every once in a while maybe a magnet will come flying off of the rotor or whatever. But nonetheless, the stators themselves are very rarely ever go bad, and so as long as you can pull one of those out, or you got a built-in generator. And depending on what RPMs you spin it up at, it will determine on how much frequency is going to come out the other side. So you got a ready-built generator and a doggone washing machine. These motors are so powerful they don't even need a transmission anymore. And the hard drive motors are pretty much the same kind of motor, and then they've been spinning up hard drives to crazy RPMs, and you spin those backwards at crazy RPMs, you produce a lot of voltage out the other side. You're not going to produce a lot of current out the other side because they weren't designed for that. But if you take that concept and you rewind it to a larger gauge wire and make a larger device off of it, what you end up with is the motor that's in the direct drive washing machine. It can be scaled up. It can be scaled down. So, I set out to prove once and for all, 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, that energy was free. I've done it over and over and over again at nauseum on this radio station, and I sent the word out to everybody and his brother, come listen, bring your friends over here. Let's get together and build some stuff. Been called everything under the sun, from crazy to stupid or whatever. And I showed some things in some videos that people just like, you know, you, seeing is believing, man. So, what we got there? Star Citizen gameplay. Exploration. Thomas, did you guys bail on me? Crazy people. Anyway.
I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is that I can't get the chat thing to work at all. I get big blobby blue or black and red screen over top of the chat.
I don't know how you got that going on. I just saw you post something in the chat room on Shaziz Mad Science.
Yeah, it finally went through.
Anyway.
Won't let me set a name. Won't let me do nothing, man. This is ridiculous.
It says architect on it.
Yeah, on one of them, I've got a big block, blue blocky screen, and earlier it crashed completely.
Dang.
The whole thing just died.
Look, I never claimed to be a webmaster. I'm telling everybody, like, mechanically how energy travels from point A to point B and how you can utilize that, but as far as building a website, man, Steve built this website. Alright? And I built oldshaziz.com. And you see how well that worked. But I've showed everybody in some videos some cool anomalies. If you paid attention to the videos and looked past the madness, you would have learned something by now. And I did it in a... there is a method to my madness. Because there are individuals out there that do not, and I repeat, do not want you to know that energy is free, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Ask Stan Myers, ask any of the major guys out there. Don't ask Keshi because he's a crook. He's a scam artist. He's a low-life, chicken-thieving, no-good-for-nothing snake in the grass that's going to take your money and offer you something that he ain't going to provide. I'm not asking you for money. I'm putting something in front of your face so you can take your money yourself and you can put it together and you can go out there and you can test it and you can tell me whether or not you think I'm right or I'm wrong. Science says I'm right because science says light is heat and heat is light, and you know that if you rub two sticks together rapidly enough, you produce heat, which in turn produces friction, which in turn starts a fire. So I put in front of you something that you could use nothing more than high voltage to generate any of the noble gases into the fourth state of matter, generating plasma, which in turn will generate visible light and visible heat. And if you took that same concept and you coated it with the same phosphorescence that they got inside of fluorescent bulbs, you would have a light source with the same light as a fluorescent light bulb. You would have a heat source to heat water up, or fuel, or whatever else you want to energize. And you would be able to do it in the milliamp range, as opposed to using a 1500 watt element from a doggone hot water heater. Because it doesn't take nothing to produce high voltage. Voltage is pressure. Speed equals friction equals heat. Simple as that. That's how your food in your microwave is cooked. I can't even talk straight anymore. Oh, man. Do you know what's happening inside the internal combustion engine, Raymond? Raymond left.
No, I just had a telephone call. I got an emergency situation on my mind. That's what I got to take care of.
Well, take care of your emergency.
Got it.
Thomas, do you know what's going on inside there?
I don't know. I just reported the problem I'm having with Chat Tango to them, and I get a response of, thanks for your report. We may not get back to you, but your feedback is appreciated. That's a nice brush off. Then, if you're not, may not get back to me, why'd you ask me for my email address? You're gonna spam me?
Probably.
And sell it to somebody else?
Probably.
Jerks. You need to use Discus. Stop using Chat Tango.
Well, we'll get that arranged. Steven said, did you ask Thomas if using 64-bit browser? If so, tell him to use the 32-bit version. He said he had
it locks up too fast because they're eating up too much RAM because Firefox is a hog.
We'll get you a second computer just for the chat room.
I can't do that, man. It won't work. I'm telling you, man, it locks up.
Alright.
I'll be waiting 20 minutes just to type in a single character.
Alright. So.
Tell me, they need to change it from Firefox to Firehog. It's like it's getting like Windows. Oh, you've got 16 gig of RAM? Not anymore.
Well, that's modern technology for you. Alright, I'm not part of the IT department. I'm part of the free energy department.
It's that whole, you got 16 gig of RAM, we have to use all of that for your safety.
Yeah, spyware.
It's safety. We have to protect you.
Yeah, spyware.
Yeah, we gotta have everything you own so that we can protect you.
Yeah, spyware.
That's like the whole government thing, man.
Yeah,
hiring
spyware.
Hiring the government to protect you is like hiring a rapist to keep you from getting raped.
Alright, folks. We're down to the last 5 minutes of the show, thank God, because this has been a tough one. But basically, what I'm trying to say is that everybody out there says that the world is doomed. I say it's not. Everybody out there says that the world is having an energy crisis. I say it is not. Everybody out there saying that we have climate change slash climate disruption slash whatever it's going to be next week when the math doesn't add up. I say it's not. People out there say that we have all kinds of crises out there. And I'm saying, if we do have all these crises out there, let's resolve them with the issues of the technology and the knowledge that we have, the basic science that just shows you that we've got more than we ever need to do just that. Hey, I call it mad science for a reason. The world said we needed this. We put it on the table. The debunkers, the trolls, the shills, or whatever, the college-educated goons come crawling up out of the woodwork, and even the NASA groupies. They're my favorite. I love those guys and gals. Because there is the answer that took us boldly where no man had ever gone before. And it used technology that is readily available. Oh, well, you know, you can't get a hold of plutonium. Not everybody can afford plutonium. Well, then don't use plutonium, fool. Use the concept of what the plutonium was doing in order to generate the heat, which you can use any of these following elements for. Helium, neon, argon, krypton, xenon. That's six of them. Five. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five of them. Five of them. Alright? And they produce pretty colors. Alright? Well, if you energize them into the fourth state of matter, they produce heat. They produce light. And all you have to do to energize these into the fourth state of matter and get the same exact results that you would get from that depleting plutonium, as that plutonium is depleting itself as the energy is being released from it. It is doing it at a rapid rate, which is producing a high frequency, which is vibrating anything that it comes in contact with so fast that it generates heat and runs a thermoelectric generator to send you a picture back from a planet so far away from the sun, they say a 2-watt Christmas light bulb wouldn't even be able to work off the solar. So, there you go. You got the equivalence of a nuclear power plant in 5 noble gases. You got the equivalence of a thermoelectric generator in 5 noble gases. You got the equivalence of enough fuel to run forever and ever and ever, because the Earth is 3/4 covered in water. The Earth has a sun that is producing light and all kinds of nifty radiation that you can then in turn utilize. There are thermal vents all over the planet. There are lightning strikes all over the planet. There is wind blowing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, while all these processes are going on and on and on and have been, according to science, for billions of years. And if you haven't figured it out by now, one of the most constants of this entire planet, or flat Earth, whichever one makes you happy, whichever one makes you be able to sleep at night, one of the constants is heat. Heat comes from the sun. Heat will give you a sunburn so bad that it will make you sick, and it could even dry you out and kill you. The Earth is generating heat. Friction generates heat. The sun generates heat. And
operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.